The Little Fish and the Big Ocean, Rhode Island. 7 a.m. The air is creamy with sunrise. The whole beach aches with oncoming light. Rosemary and Peter had taken Mom and me on vacation with them and their kids to a beach house in Rhode Island. I had 2 hours left before we began the drive back home. An old friend named Carbone came to me and took me for a morning walk on the beach. Carbone had a beautiful countenance that reminded me of the old-timers who had spent a life in the fields. He was a guitarist who played in my project back at Arthur Avenue. I remember he came up to the Bronx in his poncho and beautiful smile with mustache and beard and wool-peaked cap as if he had just walked over from La Campagna. As we walk along the beach, Carbone strips to his boxer shorts and walks into the water with his arms open wide. He hugs the ocean as she swells over him. He ducks under a wave and rises up on the other side of it. "Mother Ocean!" he calls. "Mother Ocean!" And the swell of water lifts his smile up toward the sky. Another swell followed. I stood in the water up to my shins. Since that day when I almost drowned after visiting my father, I never went into the ocean without a life jacket. Do I tell Carbone that I grew up with fire hydrants and never learned to swim? Or that I'd almost drowned in an ocean riptide after visiting my father in the basement of a mental home? The next wave rushed toward us. I held Carbone's hand and took the hit of the curve like a linebacker. He let go. The wave lifted my whole body and knocked me down onto the sand. I tumbled and lost my breath, dragged back through the sand as the water pulled back to the sea. I got to my knees to push my head above the foam. Before the next wave came, I got on my feet and staggered up to the shore. "You had to go," Carbone laughed, water dripping off his beard. "I'm not as strong as Mother Ocean." We walked down the beach. "I like to walk and take it in," he said. His chest shivered. Carbone wanted to feel being alive the way an animal feels it. The wind on his skin, the hair on his chest with droplets of water. "Look at that," I said. "They should toss him back in the water." There was a fat fisherman and his fat fisherman wife. They smiled as we walked past their fishing pole stuck vertical in the sand. The fisherman pulled the bright line and a fish the size of his forearm dragged through the sand. The fish's gills, crusted with sand, swelled in the air. I became silent. The fish must be shocked to be pulled out of water. "What do you need to say?" Carbone asked. "I just want the fish to go back in the water." "I know you're feeling that fish. Can we walk back by the fish?" "All right." We turned and walked back down the beach. The fisherman stuck the fish vertical in the sand, tail down, head up, next to the rod. The fish stood straight vertical up. The fisherman took the fish's photo with his cell phone. He and his wife laughed. I wanted to grab the fish and toss him back in the water. I wanted to swim far out in the ocean and release him deep so he would never have to hear about the shore again. I'd never seen a scene quite like this. I know there are angels. I know Renaissance paintings didn't make them up. Angels watching life. Angels sitting on the roofs of buildings. Angels all around driving fate, pushing humans. I know angels make all things happen. After all, this is part of the genius of La Rinascimento, right? This is part of what makes me halt and weep in Firenze. This is what stops me in my tracks. Every time I pick a peach from Grandma Rose's peach tree, I know it to be true. We walked down the beach. Carbone talked about being a vegetarian. "Do you eat fish?" I asked. "I eat a fish here and there. It's a life." "Ah, Mother Ocean's resplendency. I give thanks for her vastness. We both turned our heads at the same time to look back at the fish. The fisherman waved his arms at the water. Then he backed up quickly as a wave broke at his shins. He stepped forward again, bent down, lifted the forearm-sized fish up, and tossed them over the crest of the wave. He waved at the sea as if he could push the fish back into the depths. I thought of the fish getting hit by the blast of rolling water and turning and making it out past the roll. The fish couldn't know what had just happened to him exactly, but he was aware now of hooks and air and sun and sand and one man's hands.